American 1041, contact Boston Departure, hasta la vista.
Horizon Air 259, runway 16 left, clear for takeoff.
You have arrived. It's Push to Talk on EAA Radio. Magneto Mel covers commercial aviation with pilots, controllers, regulators, and special guests.
Falcon 1 share, that's your bogey taking the runway. You'll be next.
Intelligent conversation about flying for a living.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. You're my most favorite pilot right now.
So find that red button. It's time to push to talk.
And welcome back to EAA Radio. You're listening to Push to Talk. Now I am Magneto Mel, and I'm joined today by Colonel John Slocum, but you say...
I go by my middle name,
You go
Doug.
By your middle name, Doug, but you go by...
Odie.
So
that's my call sign, yes.
Call sign. So, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
And you are the Director of Safety for the Air National Guard.
Correct.
And what exactly is that position? And tell me a little bit about what a day in the life is for you.
Well, the Air National Guard, all 54 states and territories have an Air National Guard. So we... Yeah, all 54 states and territories.
You just saw me doing the math there. I was like, wait a minute.
What we do is I am the director of safety. We're talking aviation safety, so flight safety issues, ground safety, weapon safety for all 106,700 air guardsmen across the country and all of the 54 states and territories. Literally the community-based force that is part of every state in the union.
And so as part of the safety program, we have, you know, in the civilian aspect of it, you've got the FAA safety efforts and you've got the NTSB safety, I mean, the investigations, which are trying to promote safety. What's the military equivalent of those, or how does that fit in with what we know?
Well, exactly. There's some great parallels between, for example, us and the NTSB. We do mishap investigations. We do them for aircraft. We do it for, you know, any type of ground mishap, accidents, those sorts of things. Very parallel. We try and do a root cause. Ultimately, when a bad thing happens, our goal is to not have that bad thing happen again. We don't want it to. We want to come up with a root cause analysis and figure out a great way to not have those bad events happen,
or even prevent them from happening in the first place.
Which is exactly where I was going with it now. Which is the other half of it, which is the proactive safety. I'll call it the fun side of the safety business, which is coming up with the innovative and neat ways to keep people safe to begin with. In other words, not
traumatic
lessening
experience.
That's right. Not learning lessons the hard way. But doing things so that we can keep people from ever getting in those situations to begin with.
And what is the process for an investigation with your organization? For example, we've had a lot of NTSB people in here talking about the investigation. You have the GO team, you have the first responders, then you have the process of generating the reports, and then they make recommendations. They don't legislate. They don't do what the FAA does. They don't do what the legislators do, but they make recommendations. So how does that whole process work then with
you guys? Well, for us, it's a very similar process to what you were just describing. When there is a mishap, and we'll talk flight mishap since we're sitting here and looking at a bunch of airplanes. So if there was to be an aircraft mishap, we're going to have, obviously, the people on scene. They're going to do the first responder.
That's like the GO team.
Well, I'm talking in this case like your fire department and all.
Okay.
Somebody going out, you know, the professionals who put the wet stuff on the red stuff, you know, take care of stuff, immediate saving of lives. Then we have what we would call an interim safety board. This would be safety professionals from the nearest appropriate military organization that would come out, and their job is to collect and preserve information on site in a timely manner. Whoever's responsibility it is to do the investigation appoints a board. We have a safety investigation board that comes up, and per DOD policy, we actually have a pretty short timeline compared to the NTSB. Our goal is to try and come up with a conclusion of what happened and recommendations on how to keep it from happening again within about 30 days.
And where do those recommendations go?
Well, most of them are things that we have control over. I mean, if it's a military aircraft within the Department of Defense, we have our chain of command, if you will, where we can make recommendations. Whoever owns the mishap, normally guys with a lot of stars on their shoulders that have power, we make recommendations to them. Within the military, when they decide they want to do something, it's normally no longer a recommendation. It's a go-do. You know, they're going to make things happen that's smart. So it's marketing, if you will, of here's what we think ought to happen to keep this from happening again. And when the guy who's in charge says, yes, make that happen, that's exactly what happens. So we don't have as many issues as the NTSB does, for example, in implementing recommendations from mishaps. For us, it's much more direct and within our own organization for the most part.
So it's okay. So it's not just here's what we think you might do if you see it. It's this is what we're saying.
Yeah,
should
we
be
try
done.
And be very specific and actionable when it comes to our recommendations. We have our rules and everything with it, but we don't just say, hey, talk about this or go train everybody on this. We have rules on a recommendation is, no kidding, very specific,
very
actionable.
Very delineated procedures for implementing them.
Yeah, that's going to make a difference. And we vet it through a process. And before we don't just come up with a recommendation. We have to kind of run it through an approval process and make sure that all the stakeholders in that agree that that's a good recommendation before we even take it forward and present it to the bosses then to see if they want to implement it and where they want to go with
it. So it's a similar process, just not necessarily in the same orders. So to speak. I mean, you get your approvals going before the recommendation is made rather than, you know, after it's presented and accepted or not.
Yeah, because once the bosses decide they want to do something, like I said, it's no longer a recommendation.
Right.
It becomes that the boss wants to make this or something happen or the organization does. And then it's pretty clear at that point.
Got it. And you specified a couple of times that if it's a military suggesting, perhaps, do you get involved in civilian investigations?
Well, there's a lot of synergies between mishap investigations and recommendations. What's safe for us is safe for general aviation for the most part. When we're talking airspace types of issues, aerodrome issues, there's a lot of dual use runways and facilities. You know, we fly off of an international airport in my unit where I fly in Tucson, Arizona. So things that are smart on that runway that's smart for us is going to be smart for both the general aviation and the civil aviation that fly out of that same airfield. So we are very cooperative in approaching safety, you know, with the NTSB, with the FAA, with the different airports out there, with the local governments. There's a lot of stakeholders, obviously, when it comes to safety.
Well, what about, for example, you know, if you're flying as a civilian pilot and accidentally breach a military operations area and there's a civilian accident in, you know, like in a military zone or in a training zone area, mm-hmm. Would that be something that you guys would be equally involved in, or would that be an NTSB? Is there a jurisdiction kind of?
There's lots of rules that apply. I mean, the right answer is it depends, and it depends on the agreements. But for the most part, I think a general rule, kind of what you're looking at, is whoever experiences the greatest loss for the most part is the one who's going to end up kind of taking the lead for an investigation. So if a civil aviation airplane crashes, it would be NTSB that's going to be taking the lead of that, and then we become a partner with them in the investigative process, you know, if needed.
Okay. And we've talked quite a bit about the investigative process, and just to get in there, you also have talked about, you know, the proactive side of things. So what's a little bit about some of the educational programs and the outreach that you're doing?
Oh, you're on my favorite subjects now. I love proactive, and that's exactly why we're here at Oshkosh is, for example, we have a booth on one of our initiatives called See and Avoid, and it's seeandavoid.org. It's simply a website that when we were looking at where general aviation flies, we're supposed to have a mid-air collision avoidance program and share information. And it just became smart at one point is, why isn't there a single place that general aviation pilots can go to get information about where the military is and how we can keep each other safely separated? So we came up with this idea in the Air National Guard. We took it to the Department of Defense and are in the process of handing it off to the FAA. But it's a program. You go to a website, click on where you are. You can see the airspace. You can see the status of the airspace. You can get information about local military aircraft that are there. And the whole idea is then is to keep us in airspace where we're both allowed completely legally to be. How do we make sure that we stay safely apart from one another? And that's what kind of See and Avoid is about. There's a lot of other proactive safety things that we get into. Fatigue mitigation is a perfect case study where we have a program we've designed where you can go in and look at schedules. You can look at what people are doing, put that in, and it actually gives you ahead of time, you can figure out at what point they cross a line where their cognitive abilities, their abilities to think, and their motor skills get degraded to a point where it's not safe. And then once again, proactive. Let's do that ahead of time so that we don't put our people in that position to begin with.
I'm probably working with some of the research institutions around the country as well.
Oh, you bet.
My background is at Wright State in Dayton, Ohio. There's a lot of work with the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So I don't know if that's something that is along the lines of some of the safety initiatives for education and research that you do.
Oh, yes. I mean, there's when it comes to safety, it's a great community when it comes to safety because, like I said, what's safe for one person is safe for another. So as a profession, as a community, safety people, for the most part, are very cooperative. If somebody has a great idea, it's shared. We could take it from one organization to another. I can call the NTSB. I can call research organizations. And for the most part, it's a very cooperative community with one single purpose of getting people home safe every night.
Sure. And where are you on the field if somebody wants to, I imagine you have a presence on the field here somewhere, if somebody wants to come and...
You bet. Our seeandavoid.org booth is actually in the Federal Pavilion. Over there, come in the corner. If anybody, when you walk in there, just on the, I believe it's on the north side of the field, or on the north side of the building there, come in, see the folks in the uniforms, come over, ask them some questions. We'd be glad to talk with anybody about a lot of these proactive safety initiatives.
Well, fantastic. I wish you all the luck with all of your programs in that regard. Thank you very, very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for taking the time. It's great to be here and appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Good to have you. And this has been Doug, also known as Odie Slocum, Director of Safety with the Air National Guard. And you are listening to Magneto Mel on Push to Talk, EAA Radio 93.3 FM and EAARadio.net.